We have been talking about spiritual disciplines. We went through a series called The New You, and we talked about how we could get a spiritual makeover in our own lives. And then after that, we decided that we would kind of dig in just a little bit deeper for a couple more weeks. And so last week, we talked about the spiritual discipline of fasting. We talked about how you go without food, you deny yourself something so that you can grow spiritually, so that you can focus on the spiritual things, and how that can help us, and how that it should be a regular spiritual practice. Not that you fast every week, but you know, every so often you should engage in that so that you can connect with God. And it was a good thing. And some of you guys, how many of you fasted last week for a day or two? Okay, we got a couple people. That's awesome. That tried it out. That's awesome. I'd like to hear how that went for you. But this week we're going to talk about how do you get on track and how do you stay on track. And one of the spiritual disciplines that helps us get on track, and to kind of define on track for you, because that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. To be on track means that every day you're moving closer and closer to being the person you want to be. And if you're a Christian, that means to being more like the person that God created you to be. Okay? Because I believe God has a dream for every one of us. That he has a vision. When he created you, when you were in your mother's womb, he saw you and he said, this person is going to be this. And had an incredible dream. I believe that. And I believe that my life mission is to help people realize the dream of their creator. That's why I teach. That's why I speak. That's why I do what I do in every area of my life. To help people realize the dream of their creator so they can connect with God and have God show them what he had in mind all along for them. And I believe that will change the world. I totally believe that will change the world. And that starts with meeting Jesus Christ, the Creator, and getting to know him. And from there, it moves on. And I think it's an incredible, awesome thing, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I feel like that's my mission. That's why I was created. But for you, to be on track means that every day you're walking a little bit closer to where God wants you to be, to where you want to be, to where God has intended. And if you claim the title Christian, that means that on some level you follow Jesus, you like his teaching. We would say that you've invited Jesus into your heart. We use that terminology. And that says you've asked him forgiveness for your sins and you've asked him to come and live in your heart. And you would say you're a Christian. But to be a Christian, then we follow Jesus and we're supposed to live like Jesus. But a lot of us kind of look at the things that Jesus did and we're like, wow, that was pretty awesome. He healed people and did all kind of crazy stuff. But the truth is, he lived 30 years of a normal life before he started doing miracles, before he turned water into wine, before he healed people, before he died on the cross, before he started telling people, turn the other cheek and all this. You know, like all these hard things that we read and we're like, wow, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like, you know, kind of my enemies and all this stuff. He lived 30 years of normal life. Day to day, day in, day out. His dad was a carpenter, or his stepdad, I guess you would call it since he was a virgin born. But his dad, Joseph, was a carpenter, and so he had to work. And he did daily tasks and daily chores and daily life. And I believe that it was that daily living that prepared him for his ministry. He had a ministry 3 years long, and then he died on the cross. And think about that. If you worked for 3 years at your life mission and then it was still going on thousands of years later, it's pretty successful, isn't it? I would hope that we would be that successful. But he lived a normal life for 30 years, and his normal life was preparation for his extraordinary mission. His normal life was preparation for his extraordinary mission. Following Jesus is as much about the natural as it is the supernatural. It really is. Following Jesus is as much about the mundane, natural stuff, the spiritual disciplines, so to speak, as it is about the spiritual. We are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And yes, we have to do the spiritual things of praying with God and connecting with God. But then there's the physical side of like fasting and what we're going to talk about tonight, which is reading your Bible and engaging with what the Bible says and bringing that into your life. That's a physical thing. Your eyes see words, and then you think about it, and you translate. And these are like physical stuff. And following Jesus is so much about the natural as it is about the supernatural. Spiritual disciplines are personal habits. This is the definition. Spiritual disciplines are personal habits that we build into our normal life that prepare us for the extraordinary mission God has for us. They're normal habits we build into our daily life that prepare us for the extraordinary mission that God has for us. And it has to happen on a daily basis. The crazy thing isn't going to happen every day. The crazy hard thing and the big mission and stuff, that's not going to happen every day. But every day you can prepare yourself for that. So tonight we're going to look at Psalm 119. Psalms 119. And if you can't find Psalms, it's kind of like in the middle of the Bible. It's the biggest book in the entire Bible. It's a huge book of poems and songs, and it's really cool to read. It's a great place to read. Psalm 119, and we're going to start in verse number 9, and this is what it says. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. That's Psalm 119, 9. By guarding it according to your word. How many of you have ever stepped on something in the dark? Like in your house? Like you're on your way to the bathroom and there's like a train, like a Thomas the Train with like the death nails sticking up. And so you're like, and then you step on it and then you say all the words you're not supposed to say in church. And you're like, you know, you're dying and you scream and you wake up the whole house. And it's just like, you've been there, right? It's not cool. It is not cool to have obstacles in your path. How many of you have ever had a blowout in your car? Any of you guys? I have. How many of you hit something with your car? There we go. Now we're talking. Deer, people, you know, obstacles. You hit something with it, and it's like, it's not cool. It's not cool to have something come running across your path and you swerve or try to get out of the way or you step on something in the dark. It's not cool. There's nothing worse than stepping on a wooden train on your way to the bathroom at 3 a.m. And our spiritual lives can become cluttered with road hazards in the same exact way. Our spiritual lives, he says, how could a young man cleanse his way, keep his path clear? By taking heed thereto according to your word, or as it says in the ESV, by guarding it according to your word. We can let things slip past our guardrails, as Pastor Joe was talking about on Sunday morning. As we establish guardrails and just personal standards in our life of personal convictions, and I say, this is where I'm not going to go. This is how far I'll go, and I'm not going to go any further. And I don't care what my friends do, and I don't care what the other guy in the other pew does, but this is, for my life, this is where I'm going to draw the line. Those are guardrails we establish in our life. Well, we can let things slip past the guardrails sometimes. We let our guard down, and they get in the road, and then we hit it, and we have a blowout. And the question is, how do you spot these kind of obstacles? How do you know when something starts creeping into your life that's going to mess you up? That's going to take you out, that you're going to step on? That you don't know that that thing holds an incredible amount of regret? How do you know that you shouldn't make that business partnership? How do you know that you shouldn't date that person? How do you know that you shouldn't go to that place? How do you know? How do you see these things coming in your life? Psalm says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young woman keep her way pure? By guarding it. By guarding it. How do you guard your way? It says, according to your word. By guarding it according to God's word. How many of you have ever done public speaking or had to get up and give an oral report or a speech of some kind? Anybody? Yeah. Wasn't it awesome? Public speaking is like the number one fear of most people in America. It really is. You've had to give a presentation, like maybe it was a senior project. Yeah, this is the 50 years of rock and roll history, or like, you know, or whatever, you know, you did for your senior project, an oral report in class. You know, My question is, did you prepare for it? Did you? No. Did you fail? No, well, that's because you're a natural, so don't listen to Corey, all right? I didn't prepare for mine either. But most people, if you have a big test or a final coming up or a public presentation of some kind, you have to study. You have to prepare. If you're going to make a presentation to a client or you're going to go to a job interview, you don't just go rolling in your PJs. Hey, I want a job. If you do, you didn't get the job. But you put on your tie and you get all dressed up and make sure your hair is cut nice and stuff so you can go into your job. We prepare for stuff all the time in our lives. We do, because we know I'm going to be in the spotlight. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. I need to know the questions on the test. I need to get that certification. I need to pass that. I need to have these continuing education credits or whatever it is to keep your license, to keep doing what you do. You probably studied and practiced because you were scared. You were scared to fail. You were afraid that if you didn't study, if you didn't know your stuff, if you didn't know your product, if you're selling, then you might mess up. And it would be scary. And then you would be embarrassed. You'd lose a client, lose the job, or fail the test. And what about obstacles in your spiritual growth, though? What about those obstacles we talked about that can slip past the guardrails? Are you afraid of facing a temptation that you won't be able to deal with? What if a temptation comes into your life that's so enticing you're not ready for it? You were totally not ready for it. Are you afraid that you might get caught in a hang-up in your life that you can't overcome? Maybe a character flaw that won't go away, that you don't know how to deal with. It keeps cropping up. You get in the same situation. The same thing happens. The same situation. The same thing happens. You're like, what do I do? I'm starting to think this defines me, that this is something that's in me that I can't get. What do I do? Are you preparing for that situation that's coming next year, at the end of the school year, when summer hits? Are you preparing for that spiritual obstacle that's coming in your path? Because I guarantee it's coming. This is what David said. He said, with my whole heart, this is verse 10, Psalm 119, 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Now check this out. He says, with my whole heart, I seek you. What does that mean? He says, I want God. I want you, God. I need you, God. I want to live for you, God. I want you. I want to grow in your teaching. I want to be all about you, God. Right? He's all excited as a Christian. And then he says, I'm committed. My whole heart is in the game. I give you my whole heart. With my whole heart, I seek you. And then he says, let me not wander from your commandments. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like this is a little conflicted. This is like a guy who's dating a girl and says, listen, I really love you, babe. I think you're awesome. I want to be committed to you. Just don't let me around any other women, okay? What? No, seriously, I'm all about you. Like, seriously, this is the real thing. Just don't let me around any other ladies. You know what I mean? Think about it. That would not work out, right? If Nathan said that to you, Megan, that would not work out, would it? Nathan's like, you're going to say that after church, aren't you? Okay. But think about it. That would not work out. That would not be cool. You'd be like, wait a second. I don't think you're genuine. I don't think you really, there's something wrong with this relationship. But this is what David said. With my whole heart, I seek you, God. Just don't let me wander from your commandments, you know. I don't want to get like out there and walk away from you and stuff. He's conflicted. My whole heart is in. I'm just afraid that I'll wander. My whole heart is in. I'm just afraid that I'm going to wander away from you. What is that? That's reality, is what it is. And if I'm honest, I could totally say that. If I'm honest, I could totally relate to David and say, God, I'm really into you, but I'm afraid I'll wander. I'm afraid I will not stay on the path that I'm supposed to. I'm afraid that I will not see the obstacle coming and deal with it properly, and I won't be ready for it. In 1757, Robert Robinson penned a hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And verse 3 says this, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. And I bet you too are prone to wander, aren't you? You come to church, you read the Bible, you listen to the songs, and you're like, this is awesome. I love God. I want to be like connected to God all the time, but I don't know I'm prone to wander. I don't know what it is. I get tempted. I go to work. I get in the situation. Next thing you know, there I am again. That guy, that girl. Who's that person? How do I wander? Or I'm up late at night and then the wrong show comes on and instead of flipping through, I linger a little bit too long. Or I hang out with that person. I know every time I'm with them, I mess up and I got a guardrail and I don't want to go. But man, I just keep hanging out with them again. What is that? What is that? I bet you're prone to wander off the path or to face obstacles that you weren't prepared for. And so I want to ask you a question. What if there was a way to prepare for these spiritual obstacles, for these spiritual things that are going to come up? If you accepted something's going to come up, I'm going to be prone to wander. Okay? That's the truth. I'm going to be prone, more than likely, I'm going to want to leave the path. I'm going to want to get off track in my life. Something's going to happen. I'm going to want to get off track. Like something inside me is just going to snap. And I'm going to be like, whoa. You know, so what do I do? How do I prepare for that situation? Like we prepare for all the other stuff in our lives. Like you would a test or a presentation or anything like that that you have to prepare for. What would you do? And if I told you what to do, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do the homework necessary so that when that situation where you're prone to wander comes up, you're ready for it? Would you be willing to do that homework? That's my question to you tonight. Are you willing to do that homework? You say, I want a clean path. I'm all in. And I don't want to wander. You see, it's first things first. It's kind of like a progression of decisions. First, you have to be ticked off that there's toys on the floor. Okay, so you have to be really ticked off because you stepped on something. There's toys on the floor and you're mad. And then you're ready to commit and go all in and have a clean house and clean up the path before you go to bed at night. Okay? And it's the same thing in our spiritual life. First, you get ticked off that I keep wondering that this character flaw keeps cropping up again, that the same situation keeps coming up and I keep failing and falling. And I hate myself and I hate that. Okay? You're probably already there. Most of us are probably already at that level, at least. The second, though, is to commit and say, I'm all in. I'm all in to do the homework and to do the preparation necessary so that I can get past that thing. Psalm 119:11 tells us what that thing is, what the homework is. He says this. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to know how to be ready for the obstacle? You want to know how to spot the stuff that's coming across your path that's dangerous, that you should keep out of your life? You want to know how to be spiritually pumped and prepared and ready for the obstacle? Here's how you do it. This is the main point. Write this down, tweet this, put it on your Facebook, get a tattoo, all that cool stuff. Make stickers, pass them out to your friends. For God to lead, I need to read. Pretty simple, right? For God to lead, I need to read. Say it with me. For God to lead, I need to read. You guys are just catching on. Let's say it again, nice and loud. For God to lead, I need to read. Now, I know this is deep. This is really hard stuff. I know you're like this, whoa, man, right? This one's tough. For God to lead, I need to read. So you wake up in the morning, you get out of bed, and you're like, oh, and then you go back to bed and you snooze 8 more times. And then you finally get up for real. Okay, we're doing it this time. Yeah, feet on the floor, you know. I got to face this day. I got to do this thing. Man, I wish God would go with me today. For God to lead, you need to read. You have to read. You have to put God's word in your heart. And why? Why would you do this? It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, I'm all in. I want to seek you with my whole heart. I give you the whole thing. I'm going to wonder. So I'm going to store up your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. So I won't wander. So I'll stay on the path so that I'll know what's right and what's wrong. I'll see it coming. I'll be ready and you can lead in my life. That's what it is. For God to lead in your life, if you claim to be a Christian, you want to follow God, you want all the blessings of God in your life, then you need to read in your life. And don't just take it from me. This is what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. Remember we talked about Jesus and he started his ministry? At the very beginning of his ministry, he got baptized, and then he went up into the wilderness, out into the boonies, out into the sticks, out into the sand. And in Matthew chapter 4, it tells us what happened. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I told you it was coming. I told you the obstacle was coming. It came for Jesus too. He's in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days, oh, we're supposed to do that too, aren't we? We learned about that last week. After fasting, maybe you don't want to do 40 days, but because he was Jesus, you know, but start with 4 or 3 or something like that. But after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. No kidding. And the tempter came, that's the devil, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Dude, if you're really God's son, you're hungry, right? Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Winky, winky, winky. Like Bewitched, you know. Booyah, presto, Wonder Bread. And what does Jesus say? He says, "It is written." Where is it written? In the Bible. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When Jesus was tempted by the tempter, he hadn't eaten 40 days. This was the highest level of temptation that he had faced in his entire 30 years. And he had been preparing. He was there and he was ready with a scripture. Now, think about this. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that Jesus wasn't like, "All right, I'm going to do my whole like Son of God thing and die on the cross and heal everybody. So that's coming in 3 weeks. So I better start preparing now." I should probably learn some Bible and maybe take some like preaching courses and an online thing. I got 3 weeks. No, I'm just going to watch like Biggest Loser and some more Netflix. No. Ever since he was a small child, he was preparing, training. There's a story where he was in the temple learning from the teachers when he was a kid, and his parents went off and left him and forgot, lost him because he was in the temple learning. His whole life he was preparing, so that when he was tempted, when he was at the hardest thing that he had to face, that character thing, in his life, in multiple areas, it goes on, in areas of pride and areas of prestige, he was ready. And each time he has a scripture, and he quotes the scripture, and he quotes the scripture. He says, "No, the Bible says this. It's written. This is written. This is written." And he just brings it up out of the storage in his heart for that challenge. And I can attest to it. I grew up, I had the privilege of having like a Christian education and homeschool. I don't know if the homeschool part was a privilege. Homeschoolers are weird. I'm testifying here. But, you know, I got to learn scripture in church and in homeschool. And it was awesome. And so when I get in situations and I don't know how to deal with it, time after time after time, one of those scripture references will pop into my head. And it says, "Honor your father and your mother and the Lord," which is right. Or, now that I'm a parent, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your son to wrath." You know, dads, don't make your kids angry. When I'm like ready to just like and yell and push and push and push when I know my kids are on the edge, I know I shouldn't do that. Or in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church." And I want to rip my wife's head off. She's in the back there. We fight fair sometimes. But that pops into my mind. And when I don't want to forgive someone, I remember it says, you should forgive those who sin against you as your Father in heaven forgives you. Be like your dad. Oh, yeah, there's that thing. And if you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. Oh, yeah, there's that one. All right, I forgive you. It happens all the time. It pops into my mind. It reminds me of the path that I have chosen, that my heart at its best, when I'm the best person, the best man that I want to be, these are the kind of decisions that I want to make in my life. This is the direction I really want to go. But I know I'm not always at my best. I know I'm not always my best man. I know you're not always the best woman. And you get in that situation, and that's when you need to have it stored in your heart. So how do you do that? Let me give you guys some tips, and then we'll wrap it up. Tip number one, if you have a smartphone, use YouVersion Bible app, okay? You could get it out and download it now. YouVersion Bible app, it's on Android, iPhone, it's even on BlackBerry. Unless you have a flip phone, you can probably get YouVersion. YouVersion's really cool. What you could do is you can subscribe to, this will work on your iPod Touch and stuff like that too. You could subscribe to a Bible reading plan. You go on there, you hit plans, you pick a plan that looks cool. There's featured plans, there's topical plans, there's read through the whole Bible in a year plans. And what it will do is every day it'll pop up on your phone, just like a calendar appointment, and say, hey, don't forget to read your Bible plan today. And you'll be like, oh yeah, I want to do that. And you just hit the button and it's got the verses there for you to read. You can even listen to it. Put your headphones in, hit play, and it will read it to you. The Book of James. It's like awesome. You know, and it's like, and it just reads the whole thing to you. It's awesome. So if you're not a reader and you're more of an auditory kind of thing, you could do that too. YouVersion's a great app. You can even look at it on your computer. Pull it up on your computer in the morning, crank up the volume, hit play, and read along. That way, when you get stuck on the big words, you're good to go. So pick a plan. Use YouVersion Bible app or something like that, YouVersion.com. The second thing, another app, because I'm a total nerd, okay? I found this app called the Lyft app, and this is iPhone only, so, and iPod Touch. So if you're Android, sorry. But Lyft app is really cool. It's about setting habits, okay? So go on Lyft app, download Lyft app, and I'll post it on Facebook and stuff. But join the group, Read Bible Uniontown. Like Read space Bible space Uniontown. Read Bible Uniontown. If we all join, then every day you just open it up, you hit Read Bible Uniontown, and you hit the big check, and you can check in. You can check in every day, and it'll show a list of everybody who's like in our group in Uniontown that's reading their Bible. And you can hit the little like and promote it. It's kind of a cool social way for us to encourage each other on a daily basis to read your Bible. I also have other cool habits in there, like get up early and tell my wife I love her and brush my teeth. So those are cool too. But Read Bible Uniontown, you can put that and you can encourage each other. If you don't have that and you don't do the app thing, you're probably on Facebook. Post a scripture on Facebook every day. Say, I'm going to post a scripture on Facebook every day from my Bible reading. And so then that kind of gets you to where, okay, well, I got to do my Bible reading to pick one of the verses that I liked. And so that'll kind of get you in it. But use some of those things. Use some of the social tools. Another thing you could do is tell somebody. Tell somebody. Tell somebody that you came with tonight on your way home or right after when we're talking. Talk to me. Talk to someone here and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This week, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Start with like 7 days, okay? You don't need to get crazy. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I want you to text me. I'm going to text you. We're going to do the Lyft app thing, whatever. Tell somebody. When we vocalize it, we vocalize our commitment, it makes it a lot stronger because you have that social peer pressure, okay? Which is cool, and you don't want to succeed because, you know, they're going to ask you next week, well, I'll just do. Well, I got 3 days out of 4. Well, that's better than last week because last week you had 0, you know? And talk to each other every week and encourage each other. Jesus was sustained by quoting scripture. He hadn't eaten or drinking for 40 days. 40 nights. And he was sustained because of the scripture that he had hidden in his heart and in his life. He didn't cram before the desert. He prepared his whole life every day. We talk about following Jesus and doing the things that Jesus did. We talk about the big stuff. But what about the little stuff? That's how we be like Jesus, is by doing the little things. And you need to be prepared too. So I want to encourage you guys to hide God's word in your heart so that you don't sin against him. Fast, like we talked about last week, every now and then. And then start reading the Bible every day. Because if you want God to lead, you need to read. If you want God to lead, you need to read. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your scripture. Lord, I thank you that I get to have time with you every morning. Getting up before everybody else does. I hate it when I wake up. But I love it when I get up and I spend time with you. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every person here tonight in Oasis and everyone listening online who might be joining in and listening in, Lord. I pray that they would establish this, that they would commit to this. They would be frustrated enough with the consistent failures that they would commit to you with their whole heart and start to hide your word in their heart, to read the scripture, even memorize the scripture, so that it will be ready, so that their life will be filled with your words. Well, we pray that we'd be courageous enough to invite you to lead by reading your book. What a shame if we get to heaven someday and meet with you and ask the really tough questions and you ask us, did you read my book? And we kind of stand there. Lord, I pray that that won't be the case, that we'll grow closer to you every single day because we're reading your words and letting them come and wash over us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.